Hey, what's up, Real Madrid fans? Welcome back to the podcast. My name is Mushtaq, and on the other side of Skype is Hassan. Real Madrid are playing 2 days from now, being on Wednesday. It's going to be against Club Brugge. It's going to be the last group stage match of the Champions League, match day six. So we're going to take a look at that, drop some interesting, I guess, not statistics, but stats and facts about Real Madrid after this weekend. I guess we should also take a bit of a look at the previous game. We didn't even think about that. And we'll drop, of course, our predicted 11s, look at the matchday squad, so on and so forth. So, enough of me talking. Let's get Hassan, what do you think of this weekend's game?
It's going to be a tricky one, I think, to a degree at least. Anyway, I think Valencia haven't been the same force they have been in recent seasons. They've been a bit inconsistent this year. Primarily because
this past weekend,
my bad, mate. I'm still kind of
this guy is a game and a half ahead.
I am a game and a half ahead. It's always better to be ahead. This weekend was an odd one, man. Like the game itself was a very slow burner. We were in control but not in control, if that makes sense. So I didn't feel like they were going to slip the game away at any point, but it was so labored. Like, it was really hard to just get through. Initially when I first, discussed the game with a few people, and I was like, I could see this being Leganes almost, and they'll smash, 4 or 5 goals past them with ease, blitz them, no problem. They're the worst defense in the league. And we also said that on the podcast
as well, yeah.
But it was, they were a tough nut to crack, man. They were just very dogged, very compact. We couldn't quite seem to just connect the dots and get that killer blow in for some time. And even when we did, it came with a little bit of luck. The first goal coming through Benzema, I didn't even know if it was a clean dribble. Because I had to ask a few people, was that a Benzema assist? Did it come off the defender's foot before he tried to pass it off or what? Very good finish from Varane, though, I must admit. Great finish for a centre-back who doesn't tend to score a lot.
It was pretty sweet, very accurate. You're moving away from the net. It's on the far side. It's not a near side. Coming out, covering the angle. It was very, very impressive. You look at it and you're good hit. But when you watch it repeatedly, when you look at the replays, multiple angles, and you kind of slow it down a bit and you look at how much it takes. And you also have to consider the fact he's, 6'4", 6'5", maybe even taller. So at that height, it's not easy to, keep a good center of gravity, be able to, compose yourself and get that ball on target, let alone as clean as he did. So enough of the Varane propaganda, but kudos to him. It was a great goal.
Yeah, it's a striker's finish, man, to be honest. I'll give him that. And obviously we have Benzema, who got the second. To be fair, I can barely remember the build-up to that goal for some very strange reason. It just seemed a blur. I don't know whether it's because I sort of slightly found I was losing gradual interest as the game was progressing. I don't know if you felt the same, but I barely remember the build-up to it, and I just saw the ball and I was like, oh, cool. 2-0.
Yeah, it was a bit of I wouldn't say a roller coaster because it wasn't insanely drastic, but it was a bumpy ride because at some points in the first half, Real Madrid was just dominating. And then towards the end, going into halftime, I don't know if I'm getting this wrong, but at least to me, it kind of seemed like they lost control a bit. Then coming out of the tunnel again, they seemed very dominant again. You're okay, this looks good. And then it was choppy again after that. And I'm what are we doing here? And I really tried watching the game. Half asleep because it was 7 o'clock in the morning. I really tried watching the game and trying to see in the midfield. I know it might sound cliche, but I'm so big on the midfield controlling the game because it's literally true. Your midfield players should be the ones controlling it. And when you look at it at the end of the day, the one person who was off, which in a way is scary to say he was off, was Toni Kroos. Because I think in that game, he passed for 83.5% pass completion. And he only had 35 some odd touches over. Let me just look it up. Basically, what I'm trying to say is, though, it was just a very not Toni Kroos performance. He wasn't his industrious self. He usually has the most, if not second most, touches after Sergio Ramos. And he's more often than not passing over 90% completion. And yeah. Again, it's a stat that some people overlook, but it's one that I place importance on. I don't know what your take on pass completion rate is, but I think for me, and knowing how Tony Cruz plays that like metronome kind of style, I think it's so important for him to be like on it, and then he just wasn't.
Yeah, it was a strange one from him. He's obviously usually that, he's like, like you said, the metronome midfield, and he just controls everything. So I think, I don't know whether it's because he struggled with the fact that it felt like a bit of a scrappy natured game. Maybe he wasn't best suited to the way it was unfolding. Mm-hmm. Could even possibly be a tad a bit of burnout, who knows. But yeah, I agree. It was a very un-Tony Cruz-like performance. But on the flip side, you had Fede, who really stood out again in that game.
I think we're just going to have to stop saying that on every podcast, man.
Yeah, it's getting a bit repetitive, isn't it? It's like every,
I think
every
we'll just have like, we'll have a like a horn that goes off. Yeah, it'd just be like, and now Federico Valverde, and we'll just pause for about 10 seconds because we're just going to end up saying the same things again and again. But the kid was good.
Yeah, I think he was the one that got the assist for Benzema's goal, if I'm not mistaken.
He was, yes.
Yeah, he did. So that's the only bit of that goal I remember, is the fact that Fede assisted it. And obviously all the sort of stats behind Benzema's goal as well, the fact that he's now worth 50% of Real Madrid's goals in all competition this season.
I saw your tweet. Read off your tweet. That was a good tweet.
I'm just trying to find it now because I've tweeted a fair bit since.
okay, back to the Tony Cruz thing while you look for that. So I looked up his stats on who scored. So he had 6 crosses, but only one of them met the target. He went 2 for 6 on long balls, which is like 33%. He had 55 passes. Sergio Ramos, Danny Carvajal, both had more than him. I mean, Fede was a close second with just 2 less. But the thing, what I'm saying is, the 83.6 pass completion rate is just like beyond me. Like, it's surprising. Even at 70 minutes played, he had 1 key pass the whole game. And I guess, you know, now that I look at it, you said it was a bit of a scrappy game. He was fouled 4 times, more than any other player who stepped on the pitch for Real Madrid.
So I think they understood that's the hub of midfield. So if you attack Cruz, you've essentially slowed down Madrid's momentum, which, again, there you go, you've summed it perfectly in the fact that he was fouled more than anybody else. Here's that Benzema tweet as well, I found. So obviously that was his 7th assist in all competitions. He's now responsible, as I said, 50% of his goals. 15 goals or assists in the league and 6 goals and assists in the Champions League, 21 out of 42. It's just silly at this point.
Yeah. I was going to say 26th in the Ballon d'Or standings, right? Was it 26th?
Oh, God. Don't even remind me, man. That
sounds about right. Sounds about right.
But yeah, 19 games this season, 15 goals, 7 assists, so he's really stepped up. One thing I did actually mention as well, I can't remember where I mentioned it, probably on Twitter somewhere again. Obviously, a lot of people when Hazard signed it were like, that's supposed to be the Ronaldo replacement. I don't think it was. I think the Ronaldo replacement was kind of always there in Benzema stepping up. Obviously, he's not, maybe not be pulling off the same sort of like 50-plus goals a season that Ronaldo did, but few are ever going to do that. Mm-hmm. But he has been that kind of goal contribution per game, near enough guy last season and this season.
Well,
he's just been the talisman.
You needed to find like a human being that could fill the role. Like you couldn't get another Ronaldo. I think that's like what some people don't get, is like you may never have another Messi or Ronaldo. Like, these aren't humans. Like, the numbers they put up aren't like, they're alien. Like nobody is really supposed to be able to do that consistently. So, point about Karim Benzema. Like, his output, like, people are like, oh, well, he's not banging 50 goals home. I'm like, yeah, but that's because Ronaldo's from, like,
that's not the point, though,
something.
Is it? Like, yeah, exactly.
Like, he's like Superman. Like, there's no one is supposed to score 50 goals a season. But right now, Karim Benzema should be considered, at least I think we can agree on this, an elite striker in the world. No doubt.
Yeah. You could possibly argue even the best right now. You could possibly argue that.
Not only is he scoring goals, he's making assists as well. And then you look at everything else he does, like, as a player, person, his character, blah, blah, blah. it just like adds to the resume. It's ridiculous, but we
Brilliant in all senses. Another player I thought was quite brilliant on the day as well was Vinicius, who was getting a lot of stick on Twitter again, and I don't understand why.
Very, very understated game. If you I saw one person tweet this, and I was like, it is so flipping true. If you just went on Twitter and you looked at Vinicius Jr., like the things people were saying about him, you would have thought the kid shat the bed on the left wing. But he was actually so good. 4 shots, 3 on target. Last year, everyone said the kid needs to fix up his shot selection. He needs to be able to put on target. 3 for 4, 75%. I don't know how much better you can get than Yes, there was one instance where I do feel like he should have laid the ball off to, I think it was Karim Benzema. But outside of that, yeah, the kid's matured so much. 4 key passes in the game. Only Karim Benzema had more than him with 6. He had 7 dribbles. No one else in the game had more than him. And that's like his offensive stats. I mean, pretty impressive. Defensively, sure, not really expecting him to do much. But then you carry on. 82% completion in passes. 1 for 3 in crosses. Not too bad. But still, I mean, for a guy who hasn't gotten a lot of minutes this season, and for someone who got so much shit on Twitter, holy smokes. I wonder if a lot of you are actually watching the games, or you just have like pre-planned agendas.
That as well. I was like, SofaScore FC is out in force again, because it's so stupid. Like, if you watch the game, you'd see that he was very, very important in that game.
The fact that who scored gave him an 8.35 rating and gave Karim Benzema an 8.53. Keep in mind, Benzema had a goal and an assist. It just shows you how impactful he was. I think one thing people fail to understand is just because the output doesn't show up in the goals and assist column of a stat sheet, it doesn't mean that a person was useless or they didn't do anything.
Yeah, exactly, man. That's the annoying thing. It's like, if they haven't got a goal and an assist, they're registered useless. It's such a stupid rhetoric.
Anyway, we've talked about this game for 12 minutes now. Let's move forward. Like you said, always looking ahead. Unless there is someone else I wanted to talk about. I don't think so.
No, not off the top of my head. I think we've covered all the sort of negative
aspects. Real quick, the officiating was pretty trash, giving Ferland Mendy 2 yellow cards for those tackles. Are you joking?
I think the second one was very rubbish. And I'm surprised the club hasn't tried to at least appeal that, but hey-ho, life goes on. The only thing that's making me slightly nervous now is the fact that Casemiro still hasn't been suspended. Oh, and I've just got this horrible, horrible feeling he's going to get suspended in the next game. I'm just,
Me up at night. Good vibes only. Anyway, moving forward, like we said at the beginning of this podcast, Real Madrid is going to be taking on Club Brugge. Last time they played, that was match day 2 of 6. It was a 2-2 draw. I mean, that was the one game where early on in the season where people just shot all over Thibaut Courtois. And remember, this is after keeping 3 clean sheets in a row. 2 of those games came against Sevilla and then 1 against Atleti. And he kept clean sheets both. My God, I can't speak to it. But anyway, this guy got shot all over. Since then, he's probably been one of the best goalkeepers in La Liga, if not all of Europe. It's been outstanding. I don't know. Saw another stat sheet, some tweet on Twitter. I don't know. I'm not going to go look for it. But basically, he's been wicked. And I think I'll let you speak more to that.
Yeah. There's people out there just spreading stupid-ass opinions. Like, one in particular. And I'm going to name him because I don't like the pessimistic ways that he brings up. But Kaiser TA or whatever it is on Twitter. He's literally the king of pessimism, FC. I can't even remember what he said, but I sat there like, this is the most trash thing I've ever read. Because he said like, the structure's improved, therefore that's why we're so much better. I was like, did you not watch the one save that Courtois made in that Espanyol game where he literally point blank stopped a goal? And I think that would have seen the draw level. He's been key in so many games this season. I just don't understand how people are still dropping on him like that. Like, the confidence issue was there because the amount of fans that were heckling him. Now that he's obviously turned the corner and showing positive form, like, step it up and give him the respect that he deserves instead of constantly finding something negative to nitpick. And there's nothing even negative to nitpick in this situation. So, yeah, people just need to stop looking for something to hate on, even when there's nothing there to hate on.
Anyway, looking at the game more in depth, that game was a huge lapse of defense. That was another point in time early in the season where a lot of people said, oh my gosh, there's no way Real Madrid can win with this defense. Like, we're just going to get caned. This is going to be absolutely horrible. But then again, you look at all the clean sheets they've kept in the last, you know, the last few weeks. You have a 0-0 against Real Betis. You have a clean sheet against Galatasaray, a slapping 5-0 against Leganés. Don't concede any goals. Another slapping against Galatasaray, 6-0. I mean, and then this past weekend is another example. Like, even when the game got dicey, the defense, you know, came in clutch. Thibaut Courtois came in clutch, kept a clean sheet. So I think is even though they're playing Club Brugge, I mean, it's obviously not the stiffest of opponents in Europe by any stretch of the imagination, but it is a great indication, just like the 2-2 draw against PSG last time out in the Champions League, of how far this team has progressed and how good they've become.
Yeah, hugely, man. I mean, I think they've got one of the best defenses in the league right now. I know Courtois leads the way in clean sheets, as you said. So, again, like, there's not much to really be negative about. You can only beat what's in front of you. And even against the sides that are supposed to be quite, you know, that significant, a bit more testing, they've come out pretty strongly. I mean, the PSG result, as you said, I think we said in the last episode, it wasn't the best that it ended in a draw, but the general performance was very, very positive. It was just unfortunate, obviously, that the collapse came as a result of a defensive mistake and sort of players being taken off, so like Fede, for example, and not really replacing the legs that he brings significantly, to be honest. So, yeah, largely that team has massively turned a corner compared to obviously what you saw at the start of the season, what you saw against, you know, games like Mallorca, for example. That was another one. Even against, you know, teams like Real Valladolid, where they really struggled. Compare that now, you go into these games far more confident than you did, you know, say 6 weeks ago.
Yeah, well, thanks for echoing my points. It's nice that I'm making the points first and Hassan's agreeing with me. And now no one will think that I'm just a bandwagoner. But let's take a look at the squad list for Wednesday's game. So, of course, there's three goalkeepers. I think Areola will get a start, though. I don't see the need to play Courtois. Keep in mind, for those of you who don't know, this game is of no consequence to Real Madrid. Essentially means nothing. Whether they win or lose, they will stay in second place. So you can't go up, you can't go down. It's no big deal, really. It's just about putting a good team out there. I think this could even be a match for Zidane to experiment a little bit with different lineups and different mixtures of players, at least through different thirds, just to see how the guys work together, communicate together, and if it could be effective back in league play or when the Copa del Rey comes around. I mean, in the early stages at least. So my bet is that Areola starts in net. What do you think?
Yeah, I'd say that's probably a fair call. Again, keeps him sort of fresh and on his toes. It's important. I mean, as you said, it's a game with no consequence. So you could, to be fair, even roll out a bunch of Castilla graduates in the team here and there, and it'd be good for them to get that sort of Champions League experience on an away day as well.
Unfortunately, there are no Castilla people. Well, Altuve is there, but I mean, what are the chances he gets to start in goal? Moving into defense, though, it's Carvajal, Militao, Varane, Nacho, Odriozola, and Mendy. So that means Sergio Ramos is staying at home. He gets to relax. So my back four will be, I'll go first, because you know why, will be Mendy, Militao, Varane, Odriozola.
Yeah, you've kind of stolen the words right out of my mouth. Yeah, he probably will.
Yes,
those.
Finally. Good, thank
Could
God.
Could actually see Nacho, though, as well, man. So, yeah, I'll differentiate it. I'll say it's Militao and Nacho.
Man. Militao for Nacho?
No, Militao and Nacho Varane probably rare.
No. Come on, that is way too big of a gamble. You think so?
Yeah, but even if it is a gamble, what does it matter if they do get absolutely sort of thrashed in the process, which is very unlikely, but
No, it's unlikely, but I think like the reason why I could see Varane and Militao playing is because later on in the season, freaking 33-year-old Sergio Ramos needs a bit of a rest. This
yeah,
gives
there is that.
Two of
So
them,
it gives him that kind of chance to hold hands.
Yeah,
and bond.
To kind of bond. Oh, look at geez, we're just on the same page today, goddammit. Anyway, moving into the midfield is Luka Modric, Casemiro, Fede Valverde, and the beautiful Isco. So that means, of course, like Sergio Ramos, Toni Kroos is staying back at home, and he'll be able to get a rest. And after Saturday's performance, I'm not shitting on the guy. I absolutely love him. Have his jersey. I'm just saying, I think he deserves it, and he definitely kind of needs it. Anyway, my midfield three are going to be Modric, Valverde, and Isco.
Yeah, it's a first. Keep Casemiro rested because the guy's barely had any rest this season. Even when he's gone on national team duty, he's still barely been given rest. So yeah, I think this is a good chance to just give him a 90 minutes that he doesn't have to play.
Bloody machine.
Yeah, because the guy just like okay, I get he's an athlete and obviously he's probably somewhat resistant to the fatigue more so than your average Joe. But still, you're obviously going to give him the chance to sort of sit on the bench and just chill out instead of chasing a game that has relatively no meaning.
No doubt. And I know this is very, very different, but like here in North America, of course, we have the NBA, North American sports. So the NHL, which is hockey, and the NBA, which of course is basketball. Both of those leagues actually play 82 games over the course of a season. And a lot of people are now saying like, that's just way too much. It's like very strenuous on the body. And they want to like, decrease, well, not kind of, they literally do want to decrease the number of games that players play in a regular season because they feel like it's just too much. So, I mean, that's a great example. You have guys who are super, super athletic. I mean, the NBA and the NHL are the best leagues for their respective sports. Like, there's no debate, there's no question about that. I don't care what your opinion is. Like, you're wrong. There is nowhere else that's better. That being said, it just goes to show you, like, your point that you just made, even though Casemiro is like an elite football player, even he too needs a bit of a rest. That's my rant.
Yeah, everyone's human at the end of the day, so
yeah,
he's
exactly.
Deserving of being that human for a day, at least.
Moving into the attack. Sorry, do you want to go ahead?
No, yeah, carry on.
Okay, attack, good. Shut up. Karim Benzema, Gareth Bale, Luka Jovic, Brahim Diaz, Vinicius Jr., and Rodrigo Gauche. I don't know how to say that last name. I have a Brazilian friend. I should probably ask him how to say that. Because I feel like it's not Gauche. Because Gauche would sound
Yeah, I'm unsure myself. I do want to find out. So when you
I'll let you know. Yeah, I'll let you know. Okay. Let me go first, though. Okay. Can I go first?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay. I'm saying Vinny on the left. Jovic on the... Jovic in the middle, sorry.
I was going to say Jovic in the right. That's radical.
Jovic in the middle, Gareth Bale on the right, and Rodrigo and Brahim to substitute. Yeah.
Is Bale in the squad list? I didn't see him.
Yeah, he's in the squad list.
God,
which is kind of surprising, because I thought he was injured still.
So was I. Yeah, so am I. I'd say my front three would probably be I've got a feeling Brahim might get a start. I don't know why. I was quite impressed with him in his little cameo result against Espanyol.
Dude, every freaking 10-minute cameo he's made over the last, like, 15 months has been so good. I'm just
Yeah,
like,
he's a dynamo, isn't he? Like, he looks like he's two-footed. And he's so direct and so energetic. But he's just a brilliant player in that sense. And I'd like to see what comes of him.
I know he's a different, like, plays a different position. Sorry, I know he plays a different position from Isco, but he kind of reminds me of, like, that Malaga Isco, like that 2012
Isco
that we saw in the Champions League. You know, like, he's kind of, like, that spring and, like, hopping his step and, like, the way he just moves around, like, so quickly. Obviously, I mean, Brahim comes with the goal-scoring ability more than Isco does, but, yeah.
Yeah, and then maybe Rodrigo on the right. Or maybe Vinicius starts, so it's a hard one. Maybe Rodrigo goes down the middle, who knows?
Wait, so which front three then?
You could even play a 4-4-2, to be fair, if you want to completely change it. I mean, you could play two in the middle, like Modric and Valverde. Vinicius and Brahim on either side, and then Rodrigo and Jovic up top.
That'd be pretty nasty.
I reckon that could be interesting.
I feel like he won't start like that. Zidane, that is. I feel like he won't start like that, but...
He might bring it in eventually, though.
Exactly. Like, when he makes the subs, I can see him being like, all right, let's tweak the formation as well, like, switch it up. Let's see how it goes.
I'd quite like to see how that works out, man. I'm intrigued by that. Might have to do a FIFA experiment later.
Oh, my God. Stop. Those things are not real. I'm going to slap you. I'm gonna buy the $1,000 holiday season ticket to England just to come and slap you in the face, and then go hang out with my grandma, have a great meal. Oh goodness me! But,
am I invited?
Yeah, obviously. Why wouldn't you be invited, dude? Last podcast, I invited you to my house.
Yeah, there we go.
That I don't even own yet.
Check.
Exactly. Anyway, those are our starting 11s. I think it's going to be a bit of an easy game. Knock on wood, because we said the same thing against Espanyol, and look at how that turned out. The scoreline isn't really indicative of how the game went down. But anyway, Hassan. Oh, yeah, the interesting fact. So, Real Madrid now has 1,700 La Liga wins, which is the most of any club. Zinedine Zidane has the fourth highest number of wins as a manager for Real Madrid. I still don't remember the other one, so F it. I don't know. Do you have anything you'd like to add before we wrap up? Because I start work in 1 minute.
God bless Zizou. That's all I need to say.
God bless Zizou and God bless Real Madrid. Thank you guys so much for listening. Keep tuned or stay in touch to the website, because there is always really cool pre-match content. And of course, match contest and always does three takeaways from the game.
Yeah,
I typically do player rating, so some interesting stuff. There's recaps and all that jazz, and then of course we'll do another podcast because Real Madrid is playing on Wednesday, and we would have done a podcast on Wednesday, which won't be possible due to whatever reasons. We're thinking of doing one on Thursday, so stay tuned for that, and then we might do one after the game this weekend. As always, thank you for listening. Please share it. Follow the Real Champs at the Real Champs FS. Follow Hassan if you really need to. I think he has enough followers. So follow me first at MNizamdin7. Then you can go follow Hassan at TheHasKareem. Thank you guys so much for listening. As always, Hala Madrid.